I begin to be reminded today, so you can kick it on, Beth. I begin to be reminded by the Holy Spirit today about things in my journey with the Lord over the last several years, 30 years. And how many knows that serving Jesus is the easiest thing you will ever do? Now, I know it's not Jesus. It's the cares, the troubles, the things that you face in this life that tries to get you out of the simplicity that is in believing Jesus. Hallelujah. Believing Jesus, serving Jesus, serving Him is the easiest thing. It's a mind made up that as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And then you begin on a journey with God. How many knows our whole life is on a journey? It's on a journey before we get saved. God's not in it. We wasn't letting God in it. So God couldn't really bring out the things that He placed into our lives. How many knows every one of you are sitting here tonight, you are not here by just happen chance. God's brought us together. Hallelujah. And God hand put us together. And there's a lot of things He does in our life. He works in us. He subtracts from us. He adjusts things in our life. I mean, you know, serving Jesus is I would relate it, because I don't know too much about planes, but you fly, if you in a plane, a captain, you ain't looking at the highway. I mean, they're looking at the instruments, and they're making small adjustments, because if they're flying 800 miles, and you're one notch off, I mean, you could be a whole state over. Two or three states, actually. You know, so their compass is the way they're seeing is the compass. And they go by that. And all the time they say that they're making small adjustments to stay on course. Well, how many knows that's what we do in life? You know, we make, after we come to know Jesus, you know, as our Lord and Savior, most of us wasn't thinking, God, I'm giving you all this baggage, you know, and I'm giving you all of that. No, most of the time we're drawn, and then we get saved. We're not thinking about the journey that's going to start in our life. But God already is. He's already planned it out. He's already planned out our life. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says the steps of a righteous are ordered or ordained by the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's why all my Christian life, I pretty much, most of the time, would say, God, I want to know what your will is. God, I want your will to be done. You know, and then when I find out the will of God in here, then I lay hold. You've got to lay hold of it. Lay hold of the will of God. It's the will of God for us to be like Jesus. I'm not there yet. I'm a little ways, you know, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to keep going forward. The Bible says in Mark 9:23, it says, all things are possible to him that believes. That's a big statement, the word all. I mean, that means that, you know, we find out, I mean, we go in life and God puts desires that's not just spiritual desires. Desire to be in business, desire for your business to prosper, desire to be the best worker you could be where you work, wherever you're at, God begins to put His desires in there, and it's working to the counsel of His will. Because the Bible says that promotion comes from the Lord. Promotion comes from the Lord. I told Travis, I said, you know, I said this evening, you know, I was talking to him a little bit before church, you know, and I said, you know, there's a lot of things that I didn't like at Faith Restoration. That was my home church for 8 years. And me and Teresa were dedicated, and they raised us up and worked in ministry and different things there, children's church, different things, you know. I said, there's a lot of things that I didn't like at that church. You know, I was in submission without an attitude. I said, I submitted without an attitude, for, you know, and everything. Well, I mean, God, you know, and that's throughout the whole Bible. King Saul, when he got where he had something, you know, he didn't acknowledge God like he used to. And God told him, he said, Saul, when you were little, Saul, when you down there and you were humble towards me, you wanted me and all of that. He said, when you were little, you acknowledged me, in other words, you know. Well, that's one of the first things the Lord wants me and you to be humble. The Bible says for us to humble ourselves. I don't want God humbling me. I don't want God to humble me. I want to humble myself under the mighty hand of God that He can exalt me. I want to be exalted, don't you? I want God to be able to exalt my life, to exalt my business, to exalt my marriage, to exalt my family, to exalt this ministry, to enhance it, to add to it, to multiply grace, to walk in a greater anointing, because the anointing is what destroys the yokes in our life. And one of the first things that God began to deal with me about, you know, I'm just born again, and I'm really wanting to be used by the Lord. And I know most everybody, I guess everybody's the same. You just want to be used by the Lord, you know. I mean, you want to be pleasing to the Lord and all of that. Well, I'm down praying and I'm asking God, because I have these desires. I don't even know what I want to do. I just want to be used, you know. And so I'm there and I'm praying and I'm asking God. I'm saying, God, I've knelt down at the front pew. Praise and worship was going on. The altars were a lot of people in the altar. So I just turned around there and in the presence of the Lord. And how many knows we're in the presence of the Lord when you're in church? The Bible says where we gather together, He's there in the midst of us. He's always showing up, you know, and He never shows up without purpose. I mean, He has a purpose for bringing us together. But I'm asking God, I'm saying, God, use me, Lord. And I don't really know anything at this point. I've been saved about 2 or 3 months, maybe not even that long. But the Lord spoke to me. When I say spoke, I didn't hear audible voice. It's just didn't hear a quickening, a knowing. He said, you first must learn to submit to authority before you can be in authority. Hallelujah. How many knows that Jesus was submitted to God? Jesus didn't do His own thing. Jesus, Jesus was exalted. I mean, where's He at right now? I mean, He didn't want to go to the cross. You know, I mean, he didn't necessarily want to go to the cross and be separated from the Lord. But He said, God, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. See, what God was doing in my life and doing in your life and doing in our life, when He's getting us to submit to the authority, whether it's your landlord. Had some people one time, well, they won't fix the house. You know, I'm going to take my carpet back up. But they were Christians. I said, the best thing is to be a thankful heart that they let you rent their house. And clean the carpet before you leave. Come on, somebody. Clean the carpet, you know. Do overcome evil with good. I wasn't trying to get on to the person, but, you know, that's an authority over them. They own the house. I don't know how much they give for the house. They could have made payments for 30 years on that house. But see, what I'm saying here is, I mean, these things has to be in, and it affects our faith. And that's where I'm going. I'm talking about faith tonight, really. See, the humility is one of the keys to walking in great faith. Humility, being humble, saying, God, I ain't got it all worked out. God, I ain't got it all figured out. God, I ain't got my life all figured out, God. God, I don't really know what my future is if Your word don't tell me, but I trust You to lead me, to guide me, to help me, Lord, to stay in a right spirit, Lord, that I don't make bad decisions. See, pride will blind you. Pride, it's like, you know, standing by a campfire and you got the fire going, all of a sudden the wind blows it over there in your eyes. Now eyes start burning. You can't see. That's what pride does, you know, when we're not humble, praise God. But you know what? Humility lives on the inside of us. Well, you know, after I got up, you know, I started thinking about that. And you know what? I felt like God had spoke to me, you know. And so I thought, well, bless God, I'm going to work on that. And I left there, and that's when I started opening the door for people on purpose. I didn't feel like it. You know, I thought, well, I've got to submit myself, you know. I got to go to work and not tell them nothing, you know. If I don't like what they're doing, You know, that's the way God did it. He used the natural things in my path to help me to give me opportunity to humble myself. And then before you know it, he dealt with me about the policemen, you know, and quit calling them pigs. And, you know, I know there's bad ones in all, you know, but they're still in authority, right? It's not got nothing to do whether they're evil or not. It's got to do with us, our hearts, see? It's got to do with us. Because when we're humble, then we get favor even with our enemies. Favor will come on our life, you know, and they'll like us and not even know why. They'll give us a break and don't even know why they're giving us a break. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're walking in faith. We're walking in faith in God then. Because faith caused me to want to be humble, see. Faith was speaking to me, leading me. We think faith is just this great big force. No, faith is a supernatural force that's on the inside of us that causes us to want to love our wives as Christ so loved the church. We got faith when that happens. We start having that desire. We've entered in and got faith out of God's word. And then, faith, this is what I saw this afternoon. You know, I sat there and I was just kind of stopped and I was meditating, you know, just a little bit, thinking about it, pondering. The Bible says, ponder the path of your feet that your ways be established. God wants our ways established. He wants us to be predictable Christians. He wants us to be predictable, you know. Not somebody, you never know how Scotty's going to be. You know, I'm supposed to be, when people get around me, good, bad, ugly, trials, no trial or what, they're like, Scotty's always the same. He just never changes, you know. He's like, that's the way God is. He said he's the same today, yesterday. I'm working on that. Don't think I'm up here, you know, all perfected and got everything, all my ducks in a row. No, I'm under construction, praise God. But you know what, I'm gonna keep letting God lay the highway in front of me. Lay the pavement in. He said he'd make those crooked places straight. Well, I could just see a huge bulldozer in my spirit. Huge bulldozer. And the Holy Spirit said, faith is like a bulldozer. He said it clears a path. He said a dozer will go clear a path so that you can drive through, or, you know, you can see the land or whatever. He said, that's what faith does. He said, faith clears the path to the promise of God. And I thought, praise God, I've never seen that before, Lord. Although, I mean, I know that. Faith is the... Put that Hebrews 11 up, Beth, please. Jesus said there a while ago, he said, if you can believe, all things are... There's nothing impossible. Now the church and people will, I mean, they say, well, if it wasn't for this. No, stick with the word. Don't waver off of the word. Is it possible for you to be healed? According to that scripture, it is. Is it possible to have a baby? According to that scripture, it is. Is it possible to pastor a church? According to that scripture, it is. If I stay in faith, if I walk in faith, hallelujah, then all things are possible because I'm believing. Staying in that place, God's going to work it out. Faith is simple. Faith is, God, I know you're with me. God, I don't understand where this is leading me. I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I'm not going to lean to my own understanding, God. I'm going to trust you. That's what faith is. It's not hard. It's not complicated. But it says, now faith is the assurance. Hey, Beth, would it be real hard for you to put that in the Amplified? Oh, it is? Thank you. I had it there, didn't I? Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That's awesome. It says, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. The King James says, now, not tomorrow, right now. Now faith is the substance, the title deed, of the things. My house was in the spirit realm before I saw it. I believed for 10 years. 10. I wouldn't quit. That God was going to give me a brick house with a shop on it and a bunch of land with it. Because I had under 3 acres, and I didn't have nowhere to go. I mean, things come against that. It didn't look like it. Everything fell through all the time, fell through. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't quit. I had faith to know that God told me in the Old Testament over there, He told the Israelites, and I'm an Israelite. I'm grafted in, baby. I'm an heir and a joint heir now. You're an heir and a joint heir now. And He told them over there, He said, you'll live in houses you didn't build. You'll drink. He didn't know that those Philistines and their enemies was building their houses while He was talking to them. I mean, they was vineyards already planted. Man, it took me 12 years to get my little orchard. Look, God, time Caleb and Joshua got over to what God told them. I mean, they done had fine houses built, vineyards, man, I mean, farmland, I don't know what, wells that they didn't have to dig, they were drinking out of. Abraham, he told Abraham, he said, get up and go on a journey. He didn't even tell him where he was going. So the Bible says that by faith, because God said, by faith, Abraham sojourned in a country that he didn't even know where he was going. God never asked me to do that. But He showed me in there a man that did, and I mean made him very well, exalted him. Raised him up. I'm talking about blessed him. See, you ain't got to be in a certain place to be blessed. You just got to be in Jesus. You got to be in Him and in His will and walking, doing your best to walk with Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it says the faith is the assurance. That's like one time I did some trading and God gave me a Cadillac. And I want to drive that Cadillac, man. I thought about putting me some nice wheels on it and the windows were tinted on it. And I was going to do the smoke stuff like Travis does, smoke your taillights out and headlights and all that. And I thought, man, you know what? I'll cruise around in that Cadillac like Johnny Nam does. And so, I'm laying there one evening. I'm like, man, God, you're so good. Give me a Cadillac, man. Pray God. And the Lord told me, He said, I want you to give it to Nemo tonight. And I thought, oh, man. No, man, not Nemo. I thought he don't come to church on Wednesday. I said, okay, Lord. If he shows up tonight, I'll give it to him. But if he don't, he missed it. And, I mean, the boy never showed up on Wednesday night. I mean, I think it would have took a miracle to get him there. You know? And, I mean, I'm kind of excited. And then all of a sudden, here comes Gorilla through the door. And I'm like, man, he showed up. He showed up. You know what? That Cadillac was his before he got it. Faith is the confidence. See, there's things in our path we don't even know yet that God already has. That's why the enemy tries to get you off track. He tries to get you out of the will of God. He tries to get you discouraged and bitten by the serpent, and discouraged and bitter. He tries to get you angry. He tries to get you to quit. He uses circumstances, then your thoughts. Circumstances happen to everybody. But some of us don't listen to that devil. We don't go by how we're like flying a plane. This Bible is our compass, bless God. And the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't go serving God based on how we feel, what it looks like. And one thing, I mean, I've heard Christians over and over, and I would hear them say things, and I would be like, I'm not going to fall in that trap. They would say, nobody knows the troubles. Or they would say, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Every time I go to get in the head, something else comes up, you know. And I thought, man, the circumstances can move these kind of Christians, you know. I mean, they can be doing good till their light bill goes up to $450 when it was $130. See, but faith sees the light bill paid even though it went up $300. It don't look it. And I was thinking about this guy. He walked up here one time. And that's why people think, you know, Faith seems cocky and arrogant to folk. It's not, but because they're like, who do you think you are? I'm a child of God. You know, why? I'm not going to cry like you and sit down in that mud hole and wallow around 3 days. I'd just rather get up, wipe the mud off, and just go on, let it dry, and then dust it off. Just shake it off. Sometimes you got to shake things off. You just got to shake it off. I have felt like numerous times, you know, oh, man, something bad's going to happen in the business, man. I'm just now getting ahead and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and think, bless God, and maybe not. Go on, nothing happens. And I'd be like, why was I feeling like that? And the Lord said, that's not me. He said, anytime you're in fear, how many know dread is fear? Dread going to work, fear. Fear's got a part in it. Timid, cowardly. Anytime you don't want to confront issues, see, God wants you confronting issues. He wants you confronting issues in your life so that He can show you His power, so that He can demonstrate His power. So, I mean, I would hear them, praise God, well, if it wasn't for this, I could get ahead. Well, if I had enough money, I could tithe. Well, if I had enough, somebody comes to me one time, they said, Brother Weston, I got fines to pay off. You think God will wait on me to get them paid off before I tithe? I said, of course not. Of course not. I said, but if you'll tithe, He can pay them off a lot quicker for you. Hallelujah. Well, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? Change God's word because He's in Emmaus? No. And they got upset about, I can't believe that, Scotty, you know. We got to use common sense. Ain't nowhere in this Bible where it says use common sense. It says be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. There's nowhere in the Word where it says use common sense. There is where in the Word where it says those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It says put on the mind of Jesus. So I told him, I said, no, man, God ain't going to wait on you. What do you think? God's sweating it up there because you got a few fines? I said, go tithe first, man. I said, you know, and if you have to go to jail over it because you're tithing, just start preaching in there and Satan will get you out really quick. I mean, what's a few days in jail, man? It's a vacation. But I've been in there and I know, I want out too. But not since I've been born again. I'm like, go ahead, Satan. Lock me up, Jack. I'll start fasting in there. I know Teresa will put money on my books. She'll keep me good and healthy in there. You can buy stuff like a store over there now. So, I mean, I could get heavyweight in jail. Why do I say that? Because you've got to kill that fear, all of that fear stuff. What if things might don't happen? What if this don't happen? Now, you got to get rid of all of that and say, but my God will supply all of my needs. No, don't look at the circumstance to determine that you're going to say that and believe that. I mean, you just speak it over, praise God, over yourself, hallelujah. I was thinking, just because resistance comes doesn't mean it's not God's will. Most of the time when you're in the will of God, resist it. It still comes to me, Johnny. Looks like Satan to get a clue. I'm not going to quit pastoring. But no, it still comes at times. It still comes. I mean, pressures and things comes. And just because resistance comes to you in an area of your life does not mean you're out of the will of God. I mean, sometimes it's because you are in the will of God. You know, I mean, pornography didn't bother me at all before I got saved. And after I got saved, man, I'm like, oh, man. You know, I started learning, you know, the lust of the flesh and all of that, you know. And then I started seeing how that it was causing me to see women. Distorted. Not good. Not in a good manner. And you can get a spirit of lust doing that stuff. And I've seen Christians with a spirit of lust, Christian guys especially, with a spirit of lust. I mean, they just, It's not because they're bad people. It's just because they're connecting with that. They're identifying with that. And I thought, I'm not going to do pornography no more. God, help me. Help me, Lord, not to do pornography anymore. I thought it enhanced everything, but it don't. See, I know it's not popular to get behind the pulpit and talk about this nasty stuff. But I mean, we got to have it. We got to hear it. We need to hear it from behind the pulpit. I mean, our kids have got cell phones right now. They can pull up pornography. But if they're equipped with knowledge and all of that stuff, knowledge of what it does and how it distorts you and how it changes your natural affection towards a man or a woman, not just the men, the women too. How it changes all of this is designed to pull you away from God, to get you away from God. Because when we're walking with God, we're walking in the blessing of the Lord, which says, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow, no toil, no hardship. Hallelujah. And you know what? And then as you walk with the Lord, He builds you up that you can handle His increase. You can handle His thing. I was going to the street on the streets of Oneonta. I just had this desire come up and to go on the streets and preach the gospel back in the 90s. And I didn't know how. So I'm asking folk, you know, I don't know, man. I ain't never done. I don't know. I went to my pastor. You know, I told him, I said, well, maybe I'm supposed to get a tent. I don't know. I'd just go out in the street or something. He said, I don't know, Brother Scotty, whatever the Lord says. He said, you know, tents ain't as popular as they used to be and blah, 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 you know. He said, but whatever the Lord says, you know, and I thought, well, big help you are. You know, so I went off and I determined. There ain't nobody supposed to have my vision. Ain't nobody supposed to know what I'm supposed to do, you know. And so I go to the Lord and I say, okay, God, I'm coming to you. I went to a few folk, Lord, and I don't really know how or what to do. Pray God, but I know that you'll lead me and you'll guide me. And then I could see the store that he wanted me to go to. He said, go tell them that I want you to preach on that parking lot. I thought, glory to God. I thought, I mean, at that time, I thought everybody was excited about Jesus. Store owners and all. And so I go in there, and I went in there, and I said, hey, is the owner here? Yeah, he's back there, blah, 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 you know. Go back there in that office. And I go back there. Well, he's coming across there. And I said, hey, you the owner? Yeah. It was called the Alabama Tool Outlet. There by McDonald's, the Family Dollar there now, I think, General Dollar maybe, or whatever. It's in that big parking lot. Well, I told him, I said, hey, man. I said, the Lord told me that he wants me to preach on your parking lot. He said, no. And I says, the Lord said that he wants me to preach on your parking lot on Friday night. Oh, the Lord said. I said, yeah, the Lord said. The Lord told me to come preach on your parking lot. He told me what parking lot. Hey, I could see your store and all that, you know, and everything. And come to find out, the whole family was backslid on the Lord. The one going to get the buggies out there, they'd all got out of church and they all backslid on the Lord. He said, yeah, you go ahead and do it. And he said, hey, there's a plug over here. He said, I'll leave it. He's going to need lights. So I said, I guess. I don't know, man. If it's going to be dark or not, you know. And he said, well, I'll just leave this plug on and all that. And I left and I thought, glory to God. You can't even say no to God, devil. But what if I'd have said, oh, okay. Okay. You see, the enemy, when you go forward in the Lord, he has to back off. He ain't got no choice. He has to back off. Even if it's lost people. The will of God in your life, if you stay in faith and you stay in the right spirit, they ain't anything that can stop you. Not anything. If God be for you, who can be against you? The scripture. See how bold you get when you read the word? If God tells you to go on the streets down here and preach, and the law comes over and says, what are you doing? You say, God told me to come out here and preach. That's what you do. What if they don't like it? Well, go tell them to go tell God about it. So like I told Richard one time, cops pulled up out here because traffic was all the way down yonder, and I thought, I can't go to jail this morning, man. You know, so I told Richard, I said, go out there and see what they want. He looked at me, you know, and I said, well, if you go to jail, man, I'll get you out. I'll be out there in a little while. Go see what they want. I ain't got time for this. He goes out there, praise God. Well, I done been in the jails down there on a Thursday night, praise God, and I'm walking down through there with this 6'5" tall jailer dude, and all of a sudden I heard whimpering, and I looked up and he's crying. I said, "What's up, man?" And he goes to confessing to me some things to me. So I done saw how humility and the anointing destroys the yokes and gives you favor. They had my picture posted down there that when God told me, he said, I want you to go back to the jail, take people to the jail. You know, and before I could even, I mean, I announced it here, I think maybe, and then somebody that was going to church here at that time, she played the drums. Well, she was trusted. She was one of the jailer girls down there. She goes down there, and there's my picture. Don't let him in on that jail. And I thought, yep, sure thing God wants me to go. Sure thing. See, look, resistance does not mean that it's not God's will in your life. Resistance is your opportunity to demonstrate God's will in public. So you know what I did? I went to that jail and I went in there. I went to jail and got in there. That's why I say you can't stop God's will. See, you when you're going after the Lord, well, anyhow, that guy, he left the lights on every night, and praise God, they ended up getting back right with the Lord. That dude's coming across there, and he starts just confessing to me. How many knows the Bible says confession is made unto salvation? Confess one to another, there may be healing. So he started telling me, I used to run a bus. He wasn't just crying, but his eyes teared up. And I mean, I could tell, you know, that he missed serving God and missed working with God and missed driving the bus and all of that, you know. And I told him, I said, look, man, I said, look, I said, you missed the mark, man. I said, but you can change it right now. I said, you're out of the will of God, man. I said, that's why you're so miserable. Even though you're working and you're still functioning, I said, all you got to do is repent. And if God gives you the opportunity to go back and start doing what you want to do in the Lord. See, but you know, circumstances and all of that, he got angry at his church and got out of the will of God, all of them did. But you know what? Last I heard, they was all back in church and serving God. Over one little bitty guy that don't even know how to get down there and do nothing. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm doing down there, really, other than just I'm here doing the will of God. And as I was doing the will of God, God would show up. I mean, things would happen. Supply would come and all of that stuff, you know. Praise God. Well, this one particular night, you know, he forgot to leave the lights on. And so one minister, he said, well, this is not going to be good. You know, he was down there and he'd come every now and then and everything. And he said, you ought to just call it off. He said, there's only two ways in. He said, I'll sit down at this entrance and you go down there at that entrance and just tell them, you know, they'll understand because I couldn't get the speakers and all that stuff. You know, he said, they'll understand, you know, and on the inside, I'm like, this is trying to stop the will of God. You know, this is not what I want, not to call it off. You know, although my body wanted to call it off, man, I mean, I'm working, toting sheetrock and all that stuff at that time. Working hard and I'm tired, and me and my wife can't go out and eat no more on Friday night. Why'd he tell me Friday night? I don't know. Maybe he needed me to be obedient and see if I would humble myself. And God, I told God, I said, God, I said, me and Teresa, we go eat on Friday night and blah, 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 you know. And God just spoke to me and he said, I'll give her grace. I'll give you grace. And he did. He gave us grace and everything, huh? Oh. Oh, yeah. But anyways, I told him, I looked at him and I said, nah. I said, I don't remember Jesus calling off nothing, man. I said, Jesus was up on the mountain. They didn't even have electricity. I said, I believe the Holy Spirit took Jesus' voice and amplified it. I said, so he's God without power. He's God without it. And you know what? I said, I'm not calling nothing off, black God. I don't need a speaker. And so I about the time I got up there fixing to start, I heard squalling come around the corner, man. He's wide open. He lived in Pinson down there. And he drove wide open. He got home, opened his door, and remembered that didn't leave me the power on. And I mean wide open, drove back in there, and it straight up 7 o'clock, bam, the lights came on, the speakers came on, and we rock and rolled that night. See, I could have said, well, maybe it ain't the will of God because I got resistance. You know, got in my house and then all hell broke loose. I'm serious. I mean, God supernaturally put us in that house and then all hell broke loose in our life. And we got 3 months behind. All kinds of stuff happened. But you know what? God's word does not change. I got a hold of that scripture and I said, God, you are a faithful God. You said no man has served you and put you first and lost anything, but he shall receive 100-fold in this life and eternal life. You know who owns that house today? Me and my wife, Teresa. We own it. But you know what? I could have quit. We could have quit. We could just threw in the towel. He said, well, I don't know why God ain't moving. God, I don't understand why. The Bible says, lean not to our own understanding. In all of our... See, God worked a lot of things through that whole 2 or 3 year ordeal, praise God, and brought me out into a greater faith through that whole ordeal. He worked things in me, worked things out of me. I mean, things I thought I was believing God and in faith failed me. And I could see it very clear later. God told me, he said, I'm doing away with the crutches that you're leaning on. I didn't even know I was leaning on things. That's why the Lord says that he sees our heart. He knows our heart, you know. The Bible says, now Christians and some people use that as an excuse, you know. God knows my heart. My mom told me that one. God knows my heart, boy. If I could afford to tithe, I would. I said, no, God knows your heart, so he's wanting to get all of that out of it. I said, so if you want to say that way, you know, God understands, don't let your mind work. I said, he's not asking you to do something that he's not going to empower you to do. I mean, when he tells us to believe him, but God, we just buckle down and we are going to believe God. And if you miss it, repent. I'm sorry, Lord. I could have been at the wrong church, Johnny. I'm at the right church. I mean, they wanted me to start a church down yonder. Churches wanted me and Treese over there working in the ministry because they seen the anointing and God moving. Had one woman built a brand new church and wanted me to come preach the first revival in it and offered me a salary to come pastor that church, you know. And man, I'd ponder that, take it before the Lord, and the Lord would say, nope, 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 nope. And I'd just go back and say, nope, can't do it. God ain't telling me to. But it's a good, it'll be a good, I don't care. It won't be good without him. See, I knew that God anoints and gives faith and favor and grace when I'm in his will, when you're in his will, when we're in his will. That's why you don't want to marry the wrong woman, guys. Well, I feel like I'm in love with them. You don't even know what love is. I mean, if you ain't 50 years old, you just don't really know what love is. If you ain't got a revelation, even 50, you don't know what it is. Love is a car and a house. Teresa told me the other day, you know, she said, you have your way of showing me that you love me, don't you? In doing things, building, taking care of me. You know, I said, that's right. That's my language. It's my love language. I mean, sure, we can get sugar and hug and all that stuff, but that's, you know, she still needs a refrigerator and a stove. It come in and the cabinets tore up. It come in the doorknobs. You know, all kinds of stuff, you know. That's when you're like, oh, let me take care of it for my baby. I'm building her G's Playhouse right now. You know, and it cost me time, and it cost me things, you know. But see, guys, that's what you're going to want to do. Forget your Mustang and your, you know, I mean, you got to give you that later and all that stuff. I'm not saying you can't have, but get a reality check. And ladies, I mean, they're going to need their clothes washed. They going to want waited on in the evening. They're not going to feel like running, keeping the roads hot after hours because they got to go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning. So all the dating stuff and staying up late we make ourselves do is over. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know how I got on and off all that. But anyways, praise the Lord. I went to rezone this church right here. And I'm telling you these stories because, see, you hear the story, but you don't see the struggle. I mean, the struggle I had when everybody around here, you know, said no, had to go through the council to get it rezoned to have church. And within 500 feet of this, everybody got a letter. And every one of the letters come back and said no. Everyone. Not one favored doing it. And when I got that news, I could see me. I turned left at Brooksville. I'm going to Faithway Feed where I got the name of this church right here that was in this church that I didn't know was in this church. But I was going to that place that God spoke to me in my living room, Faithway Christian Center, the name. I'm headed up there and I'm trying to have Faithway Christian Center. And so I'm going up through there, and I'm like, I just got the news, you know, and I'd made it from Rainbow Crossing up to Brooksville and turn left towards Gunnersville. And I remember I'm passing that store, and I feel discouraged. I feel like quitting. I feel like, what's the use, man? I had it made at my church, you know, and now I come down here and try to do for God, and this is the enemy talking to you. That ain't God talking to you. God told you to do it. Right? He ain't talking no more. He said, do it. He said, you are the head and not the tail. You are. He said, you're kings. He said, no weapon formed against you. That's what's going to happen if you stay in the ship, if you stay focused, if you stay in faith towards God. Well, I remember I told God, I said, hey, you got a problem down here. I said, I cast this over. It's good to know the scriptures. I mean, it's 20-something years ago. I went back and got my notebook, and I'm turning through it in 05 and 06, my sermons, and I'm like, man, they're the same. They're the same sermons I preach now. And I'm like, the word don't change. I've been preaching the same sermons for nearly 30 years. Ain't this stuff good? Still good. Still good to my spirit. His word is a lamp to your feet, type to my feet, and a light to my path. Hallelujah. Well, I rolled that over on the Lord. I said, glory to God, you got a problem, Lord. I said, I'm gonna pastor like you said, praise God. I don't know how you gonna do it, but I expect full well for it to happen. And if you need me to stand in faith to get it done, well, bless God, I'm him, praise God. And I went up through there and I began to tell the devil that God told me to do this. See, you need to say, God said be healed. God said all my needs will be met. God said it, then I settle it. Well, you know what? I went on, praise God, and went down there and come back and I seen the mayor. I said, and I'm thinking, I'm going to just tell him, what am I going to have to do here? I thought, I'm going to tell him, I ain't got the money to get a lawyer. And I thought, I will not speak that junk. I done learned. I don't care. I ain't got the money to do it, Johnny. But he said he'd supply. So I thought, well, how am I going to talk to this? How am I going to talk to him? So I just go down there, I'll see the mayor, and I said, look, God told me to start a church. Well, they all said, I said, but God told me to. Oh, God told you to. And I said, he told me to. I said, well, what do I need to do? What am I going to do here? You know, and he said, well, I mean, you're going to have to come to a meeting, you know, a monthly meeting, blah, 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 and all those people will be there. And I said, oh, yeah? I said, well, that's good. I said, what's going to take place? He said, well, they're going to tell you all the reasons why And then we'll have some building people that comes from Birmingham or somewhere. He said, they'll be in there, you know. And so I said, well, that's fine. And so Teresa had never preached, I don't think, but we had Tuesday night Bible study back then, and I wasn't calling it off for no council meeting with the devil. You hear what I'm saying? I was determined we're going to have that Bible study because I saw the need, the lack of the Word of God in Christians. That's what I saw, and so I started that Bible study to teach the Word of God, minister the Word of God. And see, I didn't know that was working me up to where I was at. But anyways, I tell Teresa, look, I should be back. Just start the service off. I'm going to be in that meeting, and I'll be back. I'm not going to call it off. These people need the Word. And so she started the service off. I'm in down there, and I sat down in the middle of these guys. I didn't know who was who. But I sat down in the middle of these three guys there, you know, and they went through the... And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I'm in the presence of God is what I'm in. I might be surrounded by people that don't want God, but the Bible says I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. See, that's why you can't take stuff personal with people. I could have got mad at all them and offered to go help them, you know, move. Back before I got saved, I would have given them incentive, burnt your house down, your car will blow up out there. Come in and it'll be all burnt down or something, you know. But see, this kingdom's a different kingdom. This kingdom is believe God and walk in love kingdom. You walk in love, you're walking in wisdom over the devil. You walk in faith in God, you'll walk in love because He is love. You can't be in Him and it not be in you. And then He gives you opportunity in me to develop it. Well, anyways, I'm sitting there and I thought, I'm in the presence of God. God's going to do something in this right here, you know. Because I'm the only one, man. They're all looking at me and I'm looking at them and they're not looking good at me. They really ain't. Most of them's old, you know. And so they brought up, and one of them brought up, I'll just tell you this one. There was about, I don't know, 15 or 20 in there, maybe. The only property around here. But one of them was so old, I thought he couldn't walk back out of the building. And he was concerned that I would open an old folks home right here. And I thought, you'd be the first one that needs it, Jack. You know? And I mean, I would sell it to Jack's. They would open the Jack's or something, and it would cause more traffic in here. You know, we heard all that and sat around, and I'm thinking, all this stuff's not even logical, man. You know, that they're saying. That's why the enemy is. He don't make no sense. Don't make a lick of sense, Satan don't. That's why you see people yielding to his thoughts and stuff. You'll be like, what's wrong with them? You know, they're jacked up from the floor up, man. That's because he's jacked up. Satan's jacked up. His thoughts are jacked up. Well, anyhow, I'm sitting there, and then this guy said, blah, 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 blah. Well, look, a church, y'all against the church. I mean, a church is going to bring, it's going to enhance the community. I mean, it's going to help the community. The church is going to do this, and the church would do that. It would blah, 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 you know, and all of that. And all of a sudden, unanimously, all of them at one time said, just do it. And I thought, glory to God, there ain't no way they rehearsed that. They all said it at one time out of anger. They were mad. I mean, they were honestly mad. And so the judge says, so be it. I got up and I said, God bless y'all. I got out of there, man. Come on down here to Bible study. Why am I telling you all that? I'm not just telling you a story. See, that was in the way of the will of God. That was something that I desired to do because God wanted me to do it. Whatever you desire that God wants you to be doing, then don't let anything that gets in there stop you from believing God, because God will row back a Red Sea. God will move 15 or 20 people to get his will. But he needed me. He needs you in there so his will can unfold in your life. But the enemy needs to get in here in your thinking and bring people into your life. I mean, I've had people to come and tell me if you would have hot dogs. They come on a Sunday night, you know, and I'm believing God to build this building, and I'm not begging for it. I'm not slanging out there and trying to. I mean, I'm not even taking up offerings. When I feel like Satan's trying to get me to take an offering up, I would come to church and I would say, no offerings today. We're not taking up tithes and offerings today. I've done it. Y'all just be faithful. Save it till next week. Well, I'd been in a meeting, heard a pastor, you got to know the state of your flock. You know, I mean, you can't miss a Sunday morning of tithes because your tithes will fall. And I thought, I won't bite that bullet. I will not receive that, bless God. So I just come on and I told Satan, I said, you watch me Sunday morning, sucker. I said, you think you're going to get something like that on me about fear of money? People didn't start me and people don't make me. I'm telling Satan that, Johnny. You know? And so I come to church and that's what I did. I said, we're not taking up tithes and offerings this morning. Y'all hang on to them. And then I left and I said, you see, don't mess with me, Satan. I don't care about money because God supplies all the needs of this church right here, not people. See, what I'm saying to you is you can't let nothing get in the way to distort your thinking and heart in what you're believing God for. And don't try to help him make it happen. He really don't need that. He needs us just to be willing and obedient to him and go. I remember the scripture in there where Peter and them, they'd toiled and fished all night long and didn't catch nothing. They're down there washing their ships or washing their nets out. Jesus goes down there and says, Peter, hey, he says, lunch out a little. So they get on there and go out there, and he tells them, stop a minute. So he goes to preaching. Jesus goes to teaching. I don't know how long he taught, but he's out there on that boat against people on the banks, you know, and it makes me see then, you know, Jesus really taught everywhere he went. He taught. We need teaching. We need preaching. And then he would, after he got up, he said, lunch out into the deep. He said, and throw out for a catch. And he said, he responded to him. He said, Lord, he said, we done fished all night long and hadn't caught nothing. He said, but nevertheless, at your word, he said, we'll do it. Well, he lunched out a little bit, throwed out, and they caught. I mean, the nets began to break. Had to bring partners in and all of that stuff. And Peter just fell down. You know, I'm not worthy of that. You know, just... But see, what Jesus was doing, he was showing them, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory through me. He was showing them he's the supply. And after that, he told them, y'all going to be Christians now. Y'all going to fish after men now. And the Bible says they went back to the banks and followed him. Well, that's what we do. I mean, I know we work a job, God ain't told, but we can serve him while we work. Serve him as we go. I mean, some of you, you know, you might have a ministry of just, you feel like Sandy. I mean, I believe she would flood the world with money if she had it. I believe everybody's house burnt, they'd have a new one in 3 months. You know, I mean, she's just like that. She's gifted. She's gifted in that manner, you know. Well, even though she's got that, she can take on cares. Even though you're not being faith, even in that ministry, that's a helps ministry. That's something God does. But she's got to believe God just like I have to believe God for the church. Zach needs to believe God to anoint him to play the drums. We're not looking for a skilled drummer, although get the best you can. We're looking for a heart drumming for Jesus. And the anointing on every boing. Boom! See, praise and worship drives demonic spirits back. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Right? So that's why we don't quit. That's why we're going to move forward. That's why we keep on going. I told Monty, I said, you know, we used to have them bongos. Bongos? Bongo, yeah, we're going to have a bongo one day. Teresa had a cowbell, boo, boo. I got it in here. When Zach gets up here, we'll put him a cowbell. I used to try the tambourine, but I'm way out of tune. The beat's off. They took it away from me. Hurt my feelings, man. What's wrong with y'all? You saying I can't play? What are you saying, I'm out of tune? And then the Lord told me, he said, you're out of tune. He said, you're messing up my worship. And then he gave me a sermon in tune spirits, out of tune spiritually. I come up here and took my guitar and I took all the strings and got it all out of tune, boy. I said, y'all, let's sing Amazing Grace. I picked the guitar up, boy, and it ain't nobody could hold a tune in a bucket out there. I'm all out of tune. I'm in G, but boy, G is way off. You know what I'm saying? And so I thought. Then I stopped and I put it down. I said, you know, that's the way we are if we're in a wrong spirit. We're out of tune spiritually. We can't flow with God. We can't flow with Him. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, God, I mean, the best of the church is yet to come. Are you going to go through things? Yes. I'm just gearing you up right now for it. The Bible says that our adversary, the devil's roaming to and fro. Not only that, I mean, you're going to have things in the natural, praise God. If I was on a fixed income, the government would have to give me a raise. I wouldn't even write them a letter. But God, I'd bring me an offering to Jesus. Praise God. And I'd believe God to the max. I taught my mama to do it. Mama, you tithe and you believe God. You believe Him to, you know, and wasn't too long after that, I got to stop, man. Wasn't too long after that, I had to go, I called her up and I said, Mama. She said, what? I said, you're going to have to spend some money. How come? I said, you got too much. I said, it's fixing to affect your check, man. You're going to have to spend some of that money. She come from broke. I mean, everybody having to buy her gas, and me and Teresa taking a lot of us taking care of stuff till she didn't need nothing. That John 10:10 started working. She began to honor God and believe God, praise God. And then when my mama died, we all had money left. Don't you tell me that God's lost His power. And don't you let Satan make you believe that you're just where you at and you not nothing going to happen in your life. He's a liar. He's the father of them, praise God. And so you just believe God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and we thank you today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father.